There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine. As together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. It's so lovely to be with you again on this gorgeous day. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to BBS Radio for all of their amazing support. Don and Doug and the crew, you guys are amazing. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do for all of the podcasts that are here on BBS Radio. It's like an ecosystem, a heart-centered ecosystem. I just love it. So thank you, thank you. And for everybody else, our episode today is going to be number 5. In our Embodied Intelligence series. Last week in episode 4, we looked at The Body Remembers Life. And today in episode 5, we're going to look at What Am I Communicating to Life? And that's because life is moving through us. I mean, you know, we need to be open to receive and open our hearts and, of course, learn with safety in order for us to consider how we are communicating with life. So really our signal, our coherence, our resonance, they are the key words for our podcast today. So let's get started, shall we? I can't wait. As you know, I can talk till cows come home, but I'm really loving this series. It's fantastic. And I can tell from the amount of people who've been emailing in that it's resonating with them as well. It's definitely the missing picture. Which is considering how we're using our bodies and embodying learning through our body. It's not just the mind. So considering this, it's great. So central question today, what are we communicating beyond words? And this is really transformational, actually, I feel, today's topic. And I like to usually start with a story. I'm not really going to start with a story today, but I am going to talk about a scenario, and that is one that I'm going to ask you to ponder on, and that's, have you ever walked into a room and sensed something? So you've sensed a feeling or an emotion. Maybe you've walked into a room and you can tell people in the room have been arguing. You can sort of feel that energy is still there. Or you've walked into a room and there's been a huge party or everything is light and buoyant or happy. Some really amazing news has just been shared. And you can feel it even before anybody said a word. You know, you could either feel the tension or you could feel the excitement. Or sometimes it might be you can feel the sadness. You can really feel that heavy sadness. Or perhaps it's a celebration. Whatever it happens to be, the emotions, my question to you is, well, how did you know? If no one actually spoke a word whatsoever, how do we know this? And I have observed this in schooling settings many, many times. You can tell children know as soon as they walk into a classroom, particularly in a high school setting when they go from classroom to classroom, they can pick up on the mood of the adult in the room, the educator, the mentor, the whoever it happens to be, whatever label you want to put on it. They can feel that energy and that emotion before anything is even being said. This is pretty massive when you consider it. And I think of people like I've got some friends, and when I'm with them, I just feel so calm, you know, deeply calm. And without even trying, their presence just helps me to settle. I know pets do this too. Sometimes when you're with a horse or a cat or a dog, and they settle you down. You know, your breathing slows, your shoulders relax, and I feel grounded. And it's almost like they haven't said anything. How do I know? What is shifting here? And so what it is that I'm describing is really It could be a feeling or a vibe. It could be an atmosphere. It could be a presence. Whatever label you want to put on it, it's definitely worth exploring. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I want to give a big shout out to this amazing woman called Catherine Muscle. I've been following her on YouTube for quite a while now. And she is actually the inspiration for this entire series. I'm learning so much from her YouTube clips and listening to her. It's really made me stop and reimagine fascia and the nervous system and how it actually affects our lives. And so, if you haven't heard of Catherine Muscle, I certainly urge you to go and check her out. And something that she mentioned the other day that I was listening to the other day, she was saying that the body speaks a different language to the mind. She was talking about the fact that the body translates what the conscious mind cannot register. And that really landed with me. It's just like, yeah, the conscious mind doesn't always register, but the body can feel it. The body senses it. It knows something's up. The other thing that was a huge paradigm shift that she was discussing, and I'm still sitting with this information, is the fact that the mind moves in cycles and spirals, and yet the body is more linear. So the mind and the body actually speak a completely different language. And if you don't have coherence between them, then that actually has huge implications for learning, life even. And so that's actually what made me get got me thinking about today around signal and coherence and resonance, because it's not something that's really discussed in a mainstream learning situation, and yet it is vital. It happens everywhere. You know, what if communication is more than words? And what if we're constantly sending and receiving information through our body language, our facial expressions, our posture, our breathing, our nervous system states, and our emotional states? All of these different things are communicating without even speaking. So these subtle forms of communication are something that I really feel in the education space is not possibly explored deep enough. Maybe we don't know or fully understand it, or maybe there just hasn't been a lens put in this area broadly. I'm aware that there's a lot of learning environments out there that absolutely embrace this, and I salute you, I champion you. That's just amazing. But I'm not seeing it everywhere I go, and this is definitely worth having this conversation and putting it on the table. The fact that our learner, our children, our adults, everyone, all of us, we are cultivating our own experience. And for me, what I do constantly now is I'm asking myself, is my experience demanding or is it nourishing? And what do I choose? Is this my highest excitement? Is this something that I choose? This is my preference? Or is it a drag, a slog? Do I have to do this? I'm starting to really question why I do things the way that I do. And I realize that there's so many things that I do in my life that's just a loop. It's a programming loop. And I've never questioned it before. And I'm breaking these patterns, consciously breaking these patterns. And what has helped me has been learning through some of Catherine Muscle's practices and exercises that she's been giving and sharing. And that is really helped me to get clear on my own personal signal, you know, my home base. I mean, I'm always aware that my own harmonics is very healing. Everybody's own harmonics sounds like home base to you. So when you talk aloud to yourself, you trust that frequency, you trust that home-based signal. It's really powerful. And so I often get children that I have been teaching for years, I get them to speak out aloud, not someone talking at them or talking in their frequency and harmonics. The children do it in their own words because it has so much more resonance in their body to create that trust with whatever it is that they're wanting to say. And that home base, that signal that you have, that we all have, is different, but it feels alive and it's very subtle. It's quite nourishing, it's quite expansive. But in the last, oh gosh, since they've invented the internet, quite frankly, and mobile phones are in every pocket, It's competing for attention. And a lot of us out there, I'm totally guilty of doing this, have not been listening to my own home signal. I've just had so much static and what Catherine calls energetic weather. I love that term. Static and energetic weather out there is what I was picking up on because I'm very intuitive. I pick up on things all of the time, but now I'm getting really good at discerning and going, is this mine? My signal? Is this coming from me? Is this for me? Or is it just energetic weather? And so discerning that state of static versus my own signal, my own homing beacon, has been really, really important in discerning what is important for me in life. And isn't that what learning's all about? Every time you learn something, whether it be in a formal schooling setting or informally anyway, it's that how does it apply? How does it connect? Why is this important? And being able to discern if it's for you and resonating with you rather than something that's being pushed on you or not even your stuff, is a really valuable tool to be able to learn in the learning space. And what I've found, how I notice it, is that the static or the energetic weather, whatever label you want to put on it, is usually sometimes it's fear-based, it's expectation-based, it's external, it's outside of myself. But sometimes it can feel heavy or draining, or sometimes it just even loud. So in order to tie into or tap into my own signal, I have to get quiet. I have to allow myself space for silence to sit and to just be. And being in nature certainly helps with that as well. I mean, when you're around all of the Wi-Fi and the EMFs and the, all of that that's around us, all of us have some sort of level of telepathy, whether we think it or not. We are picking up on the thoughts and the emotions of the collective field around us, the unified field. So if you're living in a massive city with that is, you're just swimming in that soup, how are you supposed to discern what's yours, what's your signal versus everything and anything outside of yourself? This is really important, particularly for learning and navigating our lives, in my opinion. So, many people assume that communication is primarily through language, through words and sentences and information. When you're teaching the subject of English, it's all about sentence structure and grammar and spelling and, blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about that being communication. But there's so many other parts to this that we often don't even discuss. Considering tone and facial expressions and gestures and posture, but also our energy and our intention. My discernment's getting so good now. I can pick up on people's intention. They don't have to say anything. I can feel their intention. And it's a really very helpful tool to be able to have. And often I do it without conscious awareness. All of us do. It's like you're walking in a car park and you've got that prickling sensation. You're like, there's someone watching me, there's someone around, and you feel uncomfortable. You're picking up on that energetic emotion. It doesn't have to always be positive. It can be either way. But it's, are you listening? Are you listening to what your body and your own signal is telling you? And so I would love to use an analogy. I love analogies. They're so helpful. And this one is the one of an orchestra. Imagine an orchestra, like a beautiful big orchestra, and every instrument in that orchestra is playing. And if each musician followed a completely different rhythm, the result would be absolute chaos. Oh my gosh, I'm just picturing now because I've taught music, and when they're not listening and they're just sort of being their own drum or playing all over the place, it can be a little bit chaotic. But when the instruments become aligned, something beautiful emerges. Harmony, coherence, flow. I'm imagining a school of fish or a flock of birds, and they're in that flow state, that, their coherence and that emergence. And the same thing is true for us, within us. When our thoughts and our emotions and our actions and our words all align and they're not chaotic, just like all of the different instruments, we often then experience greater clarity. But when they conflict, then we experience greater tension. And so for me, clarity is key in learning and in life. Having that clarity really, really helps us to navigate our lives. But in order to do that, we need that coherence within us. It can't be done outside of us. It is something that we can reflect on, but it's a matter of are we having these conversations? Are we even aware of it ourselves as an adult, as a steward, as a mentor, as a parent, when we are working with learners, our beautiful, precious learners? And so for me, it's a matter of deciding, well, what do I want to leave in my rearview mirror? I'm done with that. I want to leave that alone. Even though I did things that way for so many years, I'm choosing to leave that in the past. What am I stepping into the new? How am I choosing to show up? And how am I resonating? And how am I in coherence to have my own clarity moving forwards? And so then that leads me to the question of what is coherence? It's a word that you're hearing everywhere. Well, I'm hearing it everywhere. Lots of people say coherence, but I'm not actually quite sure that everybody even knows what it means. It's, how we have the word of the moment. It's like frequency, resonance, and frequency. People are using the words, but do they really know what it means? And coherence, really, for me, my definition of it would be possibly alignment, I think. It's a state where the different parts of your system are working together rather than competing against each other. And so I love to have heart, mind, gut coherence, all my three brains in my body. I love to have them aligned and be in coherence. And I can tell, I can feel it when I'm out of alignment. And then I have to come back and go, what is this? And take time to pause and take a breath and allow myself to have that space. So, and that's, when you say yes, and you genuinely mean yes. You get that whole full body, yes, I really want to do this. Or you're saying no, I don't think so, because you want to put your boundaries in and you genuinely mean no, you don't want to do it. Your whole body feels it and you're listening to it. And so you're following up on what the alignment is within your own body. Instead of saying yes when you really mean no, you don't want to do it, but you're saying yes out of obligation, out of I don't know, martyr archetype, whatever it happens to be, whatever label you want to give it, when you're not in alignment, you're not speaking your truth and you can't be feeling aligned to your values, I guess. And this is where the homing signal comes in, your own home signal. Talking to yourself, your body loves the sound of your own voice. Humming is so healing. Humming in your own voice is really healing for your body, the harmonics, and it recognizes your own frequency as truth. So when you speak strong and clear and pure, whatever it is that you want to say, I'm safe, I can hold more of myself. I'm choosing to learn something new, even though it's outside of my comfort zone. It's okay. Whatever it is that the experience happens to be, when you're saying it aloud to yourself, that frequency really helps. It's that this is feeling right and everything is clicking and it helps you to align. And then this, of course, ties into our ancient wisdom meets modern science. The conversation really becomes fascinating. I mean, many traditions have long spoken about harmony and balance and alignment. I mean, it's nothing, absolutely nothing new. And modern science today is exploring these concepts through the nervous system, particularly regulation, the heart-brain communication. I mean, the Heart Math Institution is just doing so much amazing stuff. And then the social synchronization and the entrainment. There's a lot of stuff coming up in science about this as well, and the bioelectric communication. We all have a biofield. We are electrical beings. Why are we not having these discussions around our own biofield and how this works and the field around us and how we're picking things up? Not just the physical body, it's also the energetic body that's around us. It's a different language. I mean, they're all similar questions, but it's a different language. And so these systems influence each other. And I find this stuff fascinating because then this leads me to the word resonance. And so when I think of resonance, I think of an experiment that I saw not long ago, which was with a tuning fork. There were two tuning forks. One had a higher frequency or deeper frequency, whatever it was, however you want to describe it, and then another tuning fork. And when you tapped both of the tuning forks, the one with the lower frequency actually recalibrated to the same one, the same frequency that the first one began vibrating at. And this was like resonance. It's like when you have someone that's around you that's a really high frequency, pure, clean frequency person that is with you. And then when you're with them, if someone is in a really down state, just being in that field of that person can lift them. We are like living, walking tuning forks. Really, we are. Because the frequencies and the resonance happens. I mean, do people experience forms of resonance as well? I would have to say yes, I've seen it. You know, some people leave us feeling inspired. Some environments help us feel really calm. If I go for a walk in a forest, oh my gosh, it's just magic. That forest bathing is just so wonderful, being in the ocean. Some conversations really energize us. It's that resonance of the frequency, and living systems influence each other more than we realize. And this is so interesting to discuss and explore with children. They really get it, particularly when you consider animals like horses. Horses have such a huge biofield and they're very healing. There's a reason why there's a lot of therapy out there with horses and animals and pets, because they act like a tuning fork. They can help us with the resonance. And so how does this matter for learning? Well, children are not just learning content, they're also responding. We're all like walking antennas here. We're giving and receiving. They're responding to our relationships, to our emotional atmosphere, our nervous system cues, at their safety. They're not going to learn if they don't feel safe. They'll be too busy in fight or flight. The enthusiasm of the person who's doing the teaching or the mentoring, if they're really enthusiastic, then that's contagious. It's fantastic. And of course, curiosity. I mean, the teacher's state, their energetic state, it matters. So does the parent, whoever it happens to be, the learner's energetic state, emotional state, it matters. So does the environment, for that matter, because learning is relational. It's not simply just information. There's relations around the whole biofield that's around us and the energetic field around us. I like to call it the unified field, the natural unified field, not the energetic static, which is the electrical EMFs and everything else that's bombarding our nervous systems right now. It's a bit scary, actually, when you can walk into. I can go and visit some cities, and I can feel my skin prickling the moment I even drive into the cities. I can feel it on my skin. I am quite sensitive in that way with energies. But it's what would I do if I lived there permanently? What would that be doing to my nervous system, to my energetic state? It really does make me stop and wonder. I mean, throughout history, many people have described experiences of knowing and sensing and perceiving. I mean, that's nothing new, and that's beyond the traditional explanations. But you know, these experiences really do belong to another conversation, because they invite us to be curious about how living beings communicate and connect. And in today's day and age, where everyone's on Zoom, everyone's got social media, they're texting each other. You can go to a restaurant now and you can see whole families sitting there with their head in a device. They're not even giving each other eye contact or having any sort of communication. They've completely shut that side of themselves down. This really makes me feel quite sad, considering that there's just so much more going on. And We've never had in history, well, maybe we have, maybe we have had it, but in the history that I know, we've never had so much access to communication and devices, which, yeah, can be really convenient and efficient. And yet we've never had such an epidemic of loneliness and people who are disconnected. And that starts with self being disconnected from who you are. So that is also part of life, which is the whole part of All Learning Reimagined. It's being aware of life and how life lives through us, not to us, I guess. Yeah, it's crazy. So, quick little micro practice for this week, which I will definitely put in this week's article. So, for those who are new listeners, hello, welcome. Every week I write an article around whatever the topic is, and I usually add one or two different activities that you can take and you can use, adapt it, adopt it, whatever resonates for you in your practice and share. It's all free. I publish it and it goes on my landing page for All Learning Reimagined. So you can go to bbsradio.com/All Learning Reimagined. And that's where you can find well over a year's worth of podcasts and matching articles and activities that go with them. And yeah, I'd be honored for you to even consider taking some of these micro practices and practicing them and embedding them. If you're not using it with learners, just use it for yourself and observe and see how it shifts and changes. Because I do all of these. I do all of these things. I completely walk the talk. That's why I'm sharing it with you, because I'm so passionate about it, because it's literally changed my life. It's amazing. So this week's micro practice, of course, the first thing you need to do is center yourself and pause. Make sure you get rid of all distractions and then breathe. And come into presence, basically. Three slow breaths. Now, I'm not going to do this with a really slow presence right now. I'm just telling you how to do the micro practice at this stage. But this practice is asking yourself four questions. The first one being, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? And are they aligned? So you're not judging anything. You're just noticing. You're just observing in your mind, in your heart, in your body. Thinking, feeling, doing, are they aligned? To see if you have that coherence, that alignment within yourself. And of course, I have lots of reflection questions, which I haven't got time to go into right now, but I will put them in the article for those people who are interested. And for a weekly integration, there's something that you could do, and that's asking yourself each week, what quality do I wish to bring into this space? Particularly if you're a parent or a teacher, what quality do I want? Calm? Do I want curiosity, presence, respect, connection? What quality do you want in your learning space? And then consider you and what you're resonating as a tuning fork, and then intentionally embody that quality. And then just notice, sit back and notice and see how that affects everybody that comes into your field. It's really fascinating. And this, of course, aligns to the universal law of vibration. Nature, we observe movement, rhythm, vibration, music, sound, heartbeats, waves, communication. All of this fits in with the law of vibration. So I'm going to wrap it up this week, but I would love to say that coherence is not actually about perfection. Nothing has to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect alignment, but it is aligning in what we know, what we think, what we feel, what we say, and how we choose to live. And that's what I would invite you to consider if you are aligned and how your life is going for you, because you are in charge of it. Aren't we all? My goodness gracious me. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.